Before we get into our eviction night recap for BB22, let me tell you about another reality TV franchise, which is coming back to ABC. Shark Tank returns Friday night, October 16th. In unprecedented times like these, it's great to know that the American dream lives on. That's right, Shark Tank is back in business, and it's more inspirational and crazy than ever. When you see what they did to get this show back on the air, it will blow your mind, as will the wild inventions the most driven entrepreneurs from around the country will bring into the tank. There's no better time for an uplifting show like this, and with some amazing new guest sharks, including the creator of Tom's Shoes, Blake Mycoskie, and jewelry designer and CEO, Kendra Scott. One thing's for certain: in the tank, the streets are still paved with gold, from self-cleaning water bottles to pizza cupcakes. When the sharks see a great idea, the feeding frenzy is on. The Emmy-winning Shark Tank returns Friday night, October 16th at 8, 7 Central, only on ABC. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's been included in zero Wise Guy alliances. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday night, eviction night here, as we are down to just four players in Big Brother 22. Memphis walks out of the house and heads to the jury house as we talk about what comes next with the night moves and much more here with a great panel to talk about it all. Of course, back with us, a man who is so excited to see Kacer return to the Big Brother television set. Here is Taryn Armstrong.
Hey, Rob. I just wanted to let you know, I'm promising you this, you will never have to censor me on the way out of a podcast.
Yeah.
Even though you called me cornbread once.
I think I called you biscuit.
It was biscuit. Damn it.
Yes. I'm trying to think if I've heard Taryn say too many bad words. Not many. Once in a while. Yeah. All right. Taryn, great to have you back with us here tonight. Of course, we're always excited to have this man back with us. Amon Adwin is here. Amon, how are you?
Hello. I'm very well. I really enjoyed this episode. I got a lot of soul cleansing this time around, so I'm feeling very mellow.
Oh,
I'm feeling
good.
Very vindicated, and I'm excited to talk about tonight.
All right.
So,
okay.
Yay.
Calm Amon is here. Okay. Right. Amon, I really like this shirt also.
Thank you. I mean, it kind of matches Taryn's wall.
Yes.
Like if I could like blend into Taryn's background, you wouldn't even see me.
Yeah, and then assassinate him.
Exactly. Oh yeah, I'm still waiting to get back at him with that. Like, yeah. We gotta get on the Among Us stream.
It's like a Mystique move. Yeah.
Taryn and Puya have been killing each other back to back on that Among Us stream. I gotta get myself in there.
Yeah. Okay.
This weekend? I should be.
All right, Amon, great to have you here with us tonight. And then also here with us, we talked with this person in the preseason about Kacer coming into the house, so it's appropriate. Lavina Patel. Lavina, how are you?
I'm good. Very full circle. I didn't even think about that until you mentioned it just now, Rob.
Yes.
I love I love the episode tonight. I was pleasantly surprised. I love the jury segments, but particularly the very last 5 minutes, I would say, were my favorite, just because seeing Kacer and, of course, the iconic HOH competition that I was verbally screaming at my television. So we'll get to that, though.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about all that and much more here tonight. We will also take your questions as we go through everything tonight. I have a tweet up on at Rob Cesternino on Twitter if you want to send in questions for the show. And then on Friday, I will be back with our edition of The Slop. Jenny Autumn will join me, and we will have the responses to Memphis's exit interview questions and much more as we go along on... Oh, wait, that's the podcast doorbell. Oh, who could this be? Oh, wait. Hold on a second. Brendan and Rachel, what are you guys doing here?
It's your neighbors.
Yeah.
Yo, that's our neighbor. Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Are you going to offer us prizes?
Yes. You have any prizes?
We have a lot of prizes, but we need you to count your chess pieces because two or three of you this week.
There may be five podcasters ahead of you.
Five podcasters?
Oh, no.
Wow. Okay. No, in all seriousness, very excited to have Brendan and Rachel here with us to do some breakdown of the Amazing Race season premiere. All right, what did you... No, just kidding. No, first of all, how are you guys doing?
Good, we're having a baby.
Yes, like, very soon, imminently.
Or something, yeah.
Much like Big Brother, I'm going to go ahead and leave this one to Rachel.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, do you think that you could potentially, Rachel, time the birth with the Big Brother finale? That'll be October 28th.
That's my goal, Rob. I've been planning this the whole time because this was my original plan. You know, I couldn't be on Big Brother this season. They wouldn't let me play. So my original plan was to go in the Big Brother house for the birth. So that way, at the finale, I take all the glory off of whoever's winning.
Yeah. And, yes. it is a 2-hour finale, so we're going to need to fill some time somewhere. So yeah, maybe if we could go to a live reaction in the hospital, that would be fantastic for...
Oh, it's in the Big Brother house, Rob.
Okay, all right. So it will be a big...
Yeah, Joy's delivering it.
Yes, you're giving birth in the Big Brother basement.
Yes. I'm wearing a mask, but Julie will not be.
Well, you guys never saw inside the neighbor's house. It's decked out with a lot of medical grade equipment. Perfect for her.
Well, that's appropriate.
Julie's all of her biblical stuff, it's because she's now moving towards being like a wet nurse, and she's just connected to the birth process.
Dr. Will's not your OBGYN, is he?
He is the OB, and you know, he delivered his own baby, so we figured who else better to deliver our baby in the Big Brother neighbor's house.
And I was doing like a little Botox too on the way out, you know?
It's a one-stop shop.
Gonna make sure it's a pretty baby.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So I know you two are working on something big this weekend that might be of interest to the Big Brother fans. What do you have coming up?
So we are super excited because we have a Big Brother 12 reunion.
Ah! Minus Enzo.
Enzo. That's a good point. Yeah. Enzo's kind of busy on the Big Brother show.
He's busy getting third place one more time.
Oh,
too soon. Too soon. Yeah.
We have gotten together most of the cast of Big Brother 12, and we are going to be doing a really fun 2-hour reunion for Give Kids World.
Yeah, for Hearts of Reality. So obviously everyone's aware COVID-19 has made things tough for a lot of people. And one fundraiser that we've taken part in several times is Hearts of Reality. And anyone who's ever been to it knows it's an awesome experience because you get to meet probably like 100 different reality people, most of them from CBS shows, but it's a lot of fun. Because I think COVID-19 even, you know, has impacted everyone so much, they've also been struggling a lot. And so they haven't, Give Kids a World hasn't been able to help as many families. And they bring the families in, they take care of the families, you know, send the families to like Universal Studios or Disney World, all that stuff, but provide like round-the-clock care. And it's an amazing experience for the families and the kids. So it changes your life if you visited, but sure, even for the months.
Okay, where can people go to check that out?
The link, you can check it out, I guess, through the Instagram, right?
I mean, we've been kind of blasting it everywhere. Yeah. So it's on Facebook for sure. So BB12 Reunion.
Is it on their Hearts of Reality page?
It's on the Hearts of Reality page. Mm-hmm. We're tweeting it around the clock, I think, between now and Saturday. So you should be able to find it on somebody's handle or Instagram.
Sure.
So, and also, it's the first time. I mean, look, I got Kathy to come.
Yes.
Yes.
So obviously, get held up in Carmel.
Everybody wants to hear a play-by-play in the Carmel.
That's
going to be the top of our list. We've been going over some of the good moments. I even told Rob, I said, we're going to have to ask you guys for your input of what you think are some good BB12 moments. Mine, I think me and Brittany being handcuffed, we're going to have to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Of course, the giant Neanderthal in the room will be addressed.
Yeah, wasn't that BB13?
No, that was 12.
That was 12.
Yeah, it's 12.
Okay. And Matt Hoppe and Reagan are still holdouts, so they're still holding on to their pronunciations. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about the biggest move of the season, the Diamond Power of Vito being used to take out?
We are definitely talking about the Diamond Power. But I think Matt said he's going to bring his Diamond Power on the episode.
Who's he going to use it on this time? Who knows? Find out.
Well, that's what the, you know, if you come, you're going to have to find out who he uses it on.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Also, I also Matt to bring his, he's got a megaphone. So maybe we can reenact what wall yellers would have been yelling if we had any wall yellers.
Okay. With just love to get your take on where we are right now in this season at this final five tonight with Memphis going home down to the final four. And Brendan, you said Enzo is looking like he's going to get third place again. Do you see a way for Enzo to win?
I think Enzo has to. He has to take one big blast of at somebody at the very end. He either has to take out Nicole or has to take out Cody. He has no resume whatsoever because he's very likable. But I think everyone overestimates how much likability wins you. I think it's hateability that wins people. You know, if you're sitting next to somebody like a Christmas. You know, a lot of these people may not vote for Christmas, so who's ever seen this Christmas might win.
Yeah.
Enzo, I just don't think, has a resume. And if he's sitting next to Cody, he's not winning. He's sitting next to Christmas, I think he probably wins.
He wins.
He's sitting next to Nicole, I don't think he wins. So he has to take Cody or Nicole out to even have a shot.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think he would take out Cody at the final two?
I don't know. I kind of think it's like one of those things where you really, really want it to happen, which means it's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, I think the biggest thing that happened this week is that, for Enzo, is that Christmas wins HOH, Enzo wins Vito, and then he votes out, he has to vote out either Cody or Nicole, right? So he's forced to do it. So then he's probably voting out Nicole, right?
I hate to argue. Now, Taryn, I feel like that you have it the other way.
Oh no, he'd vote out Nicole over Cody. I think, yeah.
That you say that Enzo that Enzo needs to win HOH and Christmas needs to win the veto.
Oh, if he wants Cody gone, yes, Enzo would need to win the HOH. Christmas wins the veto, and then that's the only way Cody leaves this week, unless Nicole or Enzo decide to cut him at the final four, which seems pretty unlikely at this point.
Yeah.
So basically, it's Christmas and Nicole in the end, right?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Please don't say that.
Why did you say that?
Well, here we are. That I mean, Nicole is here at the final four. I mean, there's a non-zero chance that we could have Nicole as the winner of this season.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's possible.
It's possible.
I honestly feel like it's going to happen. It's going to be Nicole and Cody in the final two questions. Nicole wins questions, cuts Cody. Cody's like, what?
And
She will never
cut Cody.
I think she actually would. Okay. I think she would.
This is an interesting debate because I lean more to I think that she might. I know some other people, I know Taryn feels like that she would not. But I'd love to hear you two talk this through. Why, Brendan, why do you think she would? And Rachel, why do you think she wouldn't?
I mean, I think we all come to accept Nicole as this like dichotomy of her good versus evil, and like they're battling inside her head all the time. And I think she's always leaning more on the side of the evil, which is fine. Embrace it. I think
you're saying she's sort of like a Schmeagle Franzel.
Exactly. I do think so. I think she wants it at all costs. She just has a hard time coming to grips with how she's going to get there. And at some point, she has to do something that she's not going to want to do. She's done this before already, and she's going to be crying, bawling while she's saying, "And Cody, I'm so sorry." You know, but I think she does end up evicting Cody while crying simultaneously.
Yeah, I say she does not evict Cody because I think she already won. She thinks that she either thinks she can beat Cody because she is that narcissistic, or she thinks that she already won and everyone loves Cody and she's worked with him the whole game, so she doesn't want to ditch him. She's like got in her head the pregame stuff, and I think she doesn't get rid of him. And I also kind of think she probably thinks she can beat Cody.
Alternate timeline. She gets rid of all of them and says, I want to take Christmas to the end because girl power.
Oh my God.
That'd be exciting. And Taryn, how do you see that decision for Nicole potentially if she wins the final three HOH?
I think if you asked her right now, she'd say she's taking Cody.
Sure.
Now, there's 2 weeks to live with that before it actually happens, so she could change her mind. But, you know, I like to look at, like, what happened in the past. And in Big Brother 18, you know, she told me after the season that she was planning to take Corey to the end if she could. And then in the final three, she made a deal with Paul and that she would have taken Paul over James in the final three. And the thing is, she beat Paul. She beat the guy who went on to play the next season and dominate that season as well. And he lost that season as well. But I think that Nicole feels like, look, either they're going to respect me and I can beat Cody, or they're not going to respect me and maybe I lose to somebody like Christmas. And so I feel like when it comes down to it, she's probably going to pick Cody, unless he drops the ball, which is totally possible. We've seen that happen in the past where, you know, somebody was planning to take somebody to the final two all season long. And then, like, in the last week, they just kind of like, I mean, I guess you don't need to. Like, I mean, I'm not going to force your hand. In fact, there's somebody in this final four that did something very similar in the final three. So, you know, it's totally possible, but I'm of the opinion that as of right now, I think she's taking Cody.
Aman, what do you say?
I think so, too. I think I kind of agree with both Rachel and Taryn. I think that she feels that getting to the end of the game with already being a previous winner is a strong enough case on its own. And she's right. It is a very strong case. I don't think that she's that aware of how the jury might perceive that. I think that she's definitely aware of the fact that cutting Cody would be the definite win. You cut Cody, you win this game. Hands down. But I believe that, I mean, we heard them talking on the feed the other day about, yeah, my mom called your mom and we were pre-gaming together and it was like, yeah, we're going to do this season together. So with all of that in there, I'm like, do you really do that to Cody at the very tail end of the game? I just don't see her doing it. I think that she feels like she can win by virtue of being a winner.
Yeah.
And I think it's also important to note that I think she'd be a little more likely to do it if it was a final three of her, Christmas, and Cody. If it's her, Enzo, and Cody, I think she's significantly less likely to do it because Enzo obviously has a much better chance of beating her in the final two than Christmas does. And I think she's even less willing to take that risk to cut Cody and take Enzo.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm going to throw a curveball out there. I honestly think that she could do it. I think she could cut Cody because it's so glaringly obvious that he's playing the best game, right? So I think that, you know, she could probably do that because if it's the guaranteed win, I think at the end of the game, you know, you're there for $500,000. And I think that she would want to guarantee her win as best as she could. Even if she thinks that she has a pretty good case against anybody left in the house, I think that she would want to, like, you know, really ring it in. Like, you guys are all voting for me. You guys saw what I did.
I think she'll do it. Yeah, I think she just wants the win so bad. I don't even think it's about the money, but she wants, like, I am the two-time winner. I think she really wants that. And yes, she may love Cody as a friend and he's the greatest guy ever. Seems like a cool friend to have. But I think she wants that title much more. Mm-hmm.
I think one possibly telling thing for now is that she does want Cody in the final three, which tells me she feels comfortable enough with him going to the final two with her, because obviously if Cody gets to the final three, it's a very good chance that he's going to win. Mm-hmm. And she thinks he's going to take her, and she's not too upset about that. Like, if she thinks Cody is unbeatable in the final two, I'll never win, then her right move right now would be, okay, I need to get to the end with Enzo then, because we beat Enzo in the final. Christmas and I will beat Enzo, and then we're locked in, we take each other, we win. But instead, she's very comfortable bringing Cody along to, in what her mind guarantees herself, final two. One of those scenarios being very likely Cody. So I don't think she's fearful enough of Cody in the final two right now.
Yeah.
So I have a question. Does Cody view Nicole as a bigger jury threat than Enzo? Because I would imagine he would think that, but I don't know. Sometimes in that house that you get, your mind gets a little twisted and you think the jury really loves somebody, so that's why they're all going to vote for them. You know, and again, in Big Brother 12, they were thinking Enzo might have a shot at winning because his social game was so amazing. But all I could think was, like, he didn't win anything. Why would we ever vote for him? You know? But people really thought that in the house, you know?
I mean,
does Nicole turn into Cody? Is there some right. at some point does she realize that she is now becoming Cody in the Cody and Dan situation?
Well, and that's the problem, is that both Nicole and Danny at various points in the season have said, I'm Cody's Derek this season. Like, they like, Danny thought she was the Derek. Nicole thought she was the Derek at one point. I don't know if she still thinks that, but she had that in her head. So yeah. It's, I think it's going to be hard for her to realize, no, he's the Derek and you're the Cody. Actually.
Yeah, she was on the feed the other night talking about how she just thinks it's so unfair that she could be doing all of this behind the scenes stuff and the audience is going to perceive her as this lackluster character. So I think that she is determined to prove that when she gets to the end that, no, I wasn't sitting on my ass this whole time. I was actually pulling strings. And like, when she won that HOH last week, there was like such this huge sigh of relief for her, because she was like, finally, now I have a competition win to say that I got to the end. So it's like, I feel like she really feels like her game is really coalescing to a point. So,
oh yeah, I think she's a really great gamer.
And I think that's why I also feel like she might end up doing it. She might end up cutting him, because she's going to say, see, I did that too. You know, that's why I'm leaning more towards that angle.
And I mean, that would be the only way she would have a chance to win. But do we even think the jury, after the jury segment, do we think that they are even going to vote for Nicole to win, even over Enzo? Like,
Do we have bitter jurors?
But we do have bitter jurors.
We're wondering, is does Davon, you know, vote for anybody but Nicole?
And giving her the win two times, is the jury going to actually, because these people are like...
I think the question is that we saw the jury talking about Enzo and maybe the, you know, a hole in his game of that boy. It really seems like the Enzo's taking his foot off the gas. We love Enzo, but it'd be great if he seems like he's being a little lazy. Yeah. And then if Nicole is the one to cut Cody and go to the end with Enzo, is it possible? Yeah. Could those two factors combine that people say, you know, I have to give my vote to Nicole? And Amon, is it possible? Could Davon vote for Nicole a second time?
Look, Davon has proven herself not to be a vindictive person. Yes. I mean, tonight we saw it. I think that she has a real issue with what happened between her and Nicole. Maybe with the fact that she didn't get a chance to talk to her about it before casting that vote. Maybe there is a way, because she did prop up Enzo in her jury segment today. So maybe if Enzo and Nicole do get to the end, I could totally see Davon walking up to that, whatever you call that thing that you put the keys in, the slot, and being like, look, all you had to do was this. And then the person sitting next to you, they're a good game player as well. So that's what it is, this girl. So I could totally see her not voting for her.
But Taryn, even you saw the jury tonight talking about how, Cody, that he's got this week. All right, now Enzo's got to make his move next week. That Enzo's got to make his move at the final five. And they're going to see the tape and see no move from Enzo.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he didn't win a competition, and I think that's really what they're looking for, is like, win something, Enzo. And that's the vibe that I got from Davon, was that she wants to give her vote to Enzo. She wants it bad. Enzo, give me something. Anything. Give me any reason to vote for you, because I want to. Because Enzo does have a better relationship with David, Davon, Kevin, Tyler, he has good relationships. He has much better relationships with all of those people. And I think all of them will want to vote for Enzo. He just needs to give them enough of a reason. And if Nicole is the person that cuts Cody, I think she's probably the favorite to win, just because so many of those people might be like, Enzo, I like you, but like, you just got dragged, I think. I don't think it's a given. I think that, you know, that argument, you know, people love to play devil's advocate and they love to think things through, and they go, well, Enzo didn't need to win a competition. He didn't need to take out Cody. He got Nicole to do it for him. He got Nicole to do this. He didn't have to win a single thing in the entire endgame. I think All-Stars are a little bit more likely to reward players who are able to succeed without competitions than like a new cast would. And so I could see people who are looking for ways to give Enzo the vote. I could see them finding those ways. And I could see Cody being kind of pissed and voting for Enzo. And so I could see a few of those votes go for Enzo. But I think Nicole probably is the favorite as long as she's the one that cuts Cody.
Yeah. I mean, it's like slaying the dragon, right? I think that at this point, that's what's been probable too.
You know,
and Cody for sure take Nicole to the final two?
I don't think it's for sure at all, to be honest.
I think take Enzo.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to take Enzo.
Yeah, I think you'd take Enzo.
For like 60 days, I was very heavily toward he's going to take Enzo. In the last like week, since Nicole won a couple competitions and Enzo has failed in the competitions, I feel like he's valuing Nicole a little more. And that may be shifting his load. Since he feels probably that he can beat either one, he might want to just give it to the person who he feels has helped him the most along the way. And right now that might feel like Nicole. So I could see him maybe shifting in that direction, but you know, there's still 2 weeks of game left. And if she doesn't win another competition, then maybe not. So I really do feel like I'm not entirely sure. I would have leaned very heavily toward Enzo, but they were kind of at odds this week because Enzo wanted Memphis to stay. Cody wanted Memphis to go. So I don't know.
I mean, go ahead, Lavina. Sorry.
It's okay. I feel like knowing Cody's track record, you know, he's a very loyal guy, makes his final two. He wants to stick with it no matter what. And I think that knowing that, I feel like he's going to take Enzo just for that. And I mean, he obviously thinks that he can beat Enzo as well. I think he thinks that he can beat both of them. It's just the, you know, the bros thing, the bros duo kind of situation. And, you know, we saw him do it in 16 and I think he'll do it again.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if he gets to the same spot and like Cody, like they're like, okay, Cody, who are you going to take? And like, he looks over and then it's like slow motion. Everything's playing from last time. Which one is there?
I know.
He looks at them and Derek's face is just staring back at him from both of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if he does take Nicole, because I don't think, because clearly it's not the same situation as when he took Derek, right? Because Derek had been running BB16 from the get-go, right? Yeah. But Cody has the social game and the comp wins to really back himself up this time around. Yeah. So if he takes Nicole, he has to be able to sell that in that jury speech. Be like, this is my biggest flex. I'm taking the person that already won because that's how good of a game that I played. I also got rid of Tyler, which is what some of the people in the jury were ready to give him the win for anyway. So I feel like if he does take Nicole, it's the sexy move. Taking Enzo is more of like the easy move. So
I actually disagree. I feel like the last thing he should do is remind them of his previous mistake. Like, I don't think he should be like, I didn't learn anything. I took the person I thought I'd have the worst chance against. I think they might be like, what?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You can spell that in a way where it's like, look, I screwed up with Derek, but I know that I played a better game than Nicole. I know that I played a better game than Nicole. So you guys need to give me this win. I have all these comp wins. I sent out Tyler. I did this. I did that. I got rid of Nicole's other final two and Ian. Like I did all of this stuff. I've never touched the block either. If he doesn't touch the block up until that point. Like, I feel like there's so much for him to say against Nicole that would be like,
yeah,
all right, give it to him. Give him the roses. Give it them all. Like,
I mean, I would definitely be inclined to vote for Cody, but I personally, that would rub me the wrong way because like, one of the main things I'm looking for from Cody is like, are you going to do the same thing you did last time? Or have you learned? Are you going to take the easier bet? Because you can think that you have it over Nicole all you want, but if you deliberately took Nicole, even though you think she's harder to beat, then you're just the same player that you were in 16. Yeah. And that, I don't like that.
I think there's a possibility of that too.
Is Nicole harder to beat?
I don't think so. I think she's actually easy.
I think that it's hard to say. I mean, this is not Derek versus Victoria.
Right?
Yeah.
Because Enzo could win a POV. If Enzo wins a POV and has some say in anything, he's forced to make a decision because he's literally the only vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and then if it's Christmas and Enzo and Cody, and then does Cody take Christmas? Because that's the absolute easiest thing to do. You know what? The Christmas is the Victoria.
Yeah, Christmas would be a Victoria, I think.
Right.
Christmas. Yeah, that would be worse.
Christmas? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me just ask.
I mean, let's all pray for Enzo final two. Because what happens when we get an Enzo final two? we get an Enzo Final 2 speech.
Oh, that's
a good point. Yo, I mean, all the movies are covered in blood, yo. That's it.
Brendan and Rachel, did you know about Enzo's foot admirer?
Oh, I heard, but I did not know
you
about
did,
it.
But no. You didn't know about okay. it either.
All right.
This was new to me.
Just wanted to know if Enzo was making up material in the Big Brother house or if this was a thing that existed before he went in.
But Matt Hoffman introduced me to WikiFeed, so I didn't know that was a thing until recently, too.
Yeah. Tara, did you have something?
I'm just imagining the kind of person that would invent a foot stalker.
Yeah, like
Enzo. Wholesale.
Yeah.
yeah, guys, my feet, mm-hmm. they've got stalkers, but they don't actually exist. But I'm going to pretend they do.
Yeah. Brendan and Rachel, I know you actually faced off against Cody Calafiore on Fear Factor a couple of years ago. Did you guys get a sense of Cody as a competitor that day?
Yeah, I think the whole time we competed against him, he is a really good competitor. That's the thing about Cody, and we see this on Big Brother. That's why I don't know how they've left him in the house this long. We saw him win 22 seconds in the first HOH. It's like, he is a really good competitor, and he's always there to win, and he's just got athletic, like, you know, he's super athletic. So I think unless he makes mistakes, because we all know we love him, but he's probably not the smartest guy in the world. But when he makes the mistakes, that's when he messes up, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, brother, we always know at the end, there's going to be at least those final, you know, two competitions. There's going to be one that's physical.
Yeah.
So I would never want to leave somebody I know that probably has a little bit of a physical advantage over me, because I know they're going to win one competition.
So Cody's definitely winning.
Cody makes final three. Yeah. He's definitely in the final two. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And then, did you have any thoughts on Memphis, who goes home tonight?
I mean, I think Memphis just, overplayed the past few weeks. And I think
Memphis didn't play actually as bad of a game as we wanted to, dedicate to him this entire season, because he was just so boring and, grumpy old man, you know? It was but he just never really established himself well with anyone. Yeah. And I think that's where his downfall was, because when it started whittling down, he didn't have any really strong alliances that were going to stick by
him.
So if Christmas is the one person that you're relying on, you know, I don't know that that was the best decision you made.
Okay.
So,
Brendan, Rachel, anything else you want to say about Big Brother 22?
Well, I think this will be the last time we're seeing All Stars. So
that's it. Yes. Well, I did notice a casting commercial for, the All-Stars had their shot. We're going back to newbies next season.
Yeah. Remember when we thought that we might get a legend season that was shorter? Yeah.
I don't know what y'all talking about. I personally think that BB23 is All-Stars again. That's just me.
All-Stars.
Start the rumor mill. Yeah,
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I make the joke to Rachel. I'm like, I love them, but sometimes I feel like they're tone deaf. So whatever you're yelling about, they'll do the exact opposite. So if everyone's like, "This was the worst idea ever," let's bring back more All Stars.
If everyone's like, "No All Stars, no All Stars," they're gonna be like, "Oh, All Stars."
Double, triple
fan favorite twist.
Okay.
Bringing it back. Battle of the Block.
Oh God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're looking for more people. Is it the best idea? It seems like that. What seems to not be working on Big Brother is that they put up the commercial at the end of the season when a lot of people have dropped off. Hey, are you still watching this show? You should be on. And then they don't cast any fans. So that maybe put it on in the beginning of the season.
Yeah. Well, they do put it on the finale too. So there's that. You know, everybody comes back for that at least.
Okay,
that's true. That's fair enough. Yeah, I mean, the truth is, we just need to cast some actually hungry people who want to win. Mm-hmm. Because this is what we're talking about, Big Brother 12. It's like our reunion.
Not hungry like Jackson, right?
Yeah. Not for watermelon.
Yeah,
not for watermelon. I mean, you literally need some people in there that are there to win.
Yeah.
And I feel like the last, I don't even know, four or five seasons, I feel like I've watched way too many people that want to be influencers or promote their hashtag or promote whatever it is. And yes, I get it, because everybody wants to make a little extra money when we come out. But when we went on to win the money. I mean, that's what we were there for. You know, the entertainment's half of it. because you're stuck in a house. You're going to lose your mind no matter what. Might as well try to make it a little fun. But we wanted to win, and I think that's Big Brother 12. Everyone in that house, I don't know about Enzo, but everyone in that house pretty much wanted to win. And that was, made the difference, you know?
All right. Well, the Big Brother 12 prayer circle is going to get together this weekend to cross their fingers and light their candles for Enzo. Check out Brendan Rachel's Instagram to find out more information about how to join you guys this weekend. Any other things you want to let the audience know?
I don't know. I guess I'm just thinking, like, we all complain about this season. Who caps off the season as like the winner? You're like, yeah, well, that figures. I guess who is the winner that exemplifies the season that we've been complaining about? Is it Christmas? Playing with Big Brother All Stars? Are we just like, exactly? Exactly.
There's no way.
Enzo wins? If Enzo wins All Stars?
Yeah.
You think it gets like an asterisk because the All-Star season?
I think that Enzo would be the one that would be like, at least like it would be like a little bit of a curveball that would be, you know, like, all right, Enzo played a good enough game.
People would come around on Enzo.
Yeah.
They'd go back and they'd say, well, in retrospect, he played a great game.
Cody's like, oh, Nicole's like, dummies. Enzo's like, okay. And then Christmas is like, girl.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's going to happen. I feel like Christmas is going to pull out a win just because we all saw the cast and we're like, Christmas? It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I dressed her, so.
Yeah.
You know what? What I saw.
All this Christmas music this season, I have not heard once Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Wouldn't that be more appropriate for this
season? Maybe the announcer will save it if she gets voted out next week. Okay. All right. And Brendan and Rachel, where can people follow you two?
At Rachel E. Riley V, I guess, on Instagram, and at Rachel E. Riley on Twitter.
And Brendan V. BB12 on Twitter.
And Instagram.
Brendan V. Yeah.
All right. There we go. Thank you both for spending some time with us tonight. It's always a treat, and best of luck with the BB12 reunion. 10 years.
10-year reunion.
10-year reunion. Okay.
No.
All right. Take care.
All right, guys.
All right, bye.
Okay.
Thanks for having us.
Bye.
Right. Bye. All right. Well, that was exciting.
Woo!
Yeah, what a night. What a night. I guess let's talk about what went on in the episode tonight. Taryn, there was some buzz that there was a clip, and let me see, maybe I could play it, of JC Moonves took to the social media to talk about, give us some hype going into this episode tonight. Did you see this?
I didn't watch it, but I saw the people talking about it.
Yeah, so this was from shortly before the episode. Here is Julie Chen Moonves on Twitter. Here she is.
Okay, this is crazy. We are live on the East Coast right now, and the house just planned to do something different than I was told an hour ago. I'm not going to reveal anything. I know some of you watch it on DVR tomorrow or a day late, 2 days later, but it's getting crazy in the house right now.
Why can she never stop embarrassing herself?
I can't.
I love Julie Chen. I really do. I will go to bat for her more often than most people will, but
yeah.
Agreed.
Who told her that?
Here's what I think this is. I think that she thought it wasn't going to be a blindside, and then she found out, oh no, it's going to be a blindside. Did you see how excited she was at the start of the episode when she said, we're getting a blindside?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I feel like, I'm wondering who let her post that. Because someone's got to know.
Like, I think they should take away her phone.
Yeah, at least for the day.
Yeah, I mean, you just know that like there was like an intern watching her film that, and they were just like,
"That's not what I meant, honey."
Yeah. Now let me just play this one last time.
Exactly. They let her post it.
Okay, this is crazy. We are live on the East Coast right now, and The house just planned to do something different than I was told an hour ago.
Different than she was told an hour ago. I was going to say that maybe did she like check like the like get a report like on Friday of like, oh, probably Christmas is going out. And then tonight she's like, whoa, big shakeup. Word is Memphis is going out.
I mean, I'm assuming that Julie Chen's not camping on the feed, so probably, no. Right?
Yeah. What are you going to do? But yeah, this was weird.
Very weird. I mean, it's Julie Chen. I mean, at this point, I've grown to accept Julie and all of her isms. And it just is what it is. We'll just, you know, they all get turned into sound bites on the podcast. Yeah. So
we're like, Julie, didn't you say that there was going to be something huge happening tonight? And she's like, I didn't say that. You didn't hear that from me. Not yet.
I think she's trying to emulate what was it day 44 last season. Whoa. When she said, well, the house is going crazy. I think she was trying to emulate that moment to create kind of like I hope the viewers are getting super excited and reminding them of day 44 of last season, something like that. But
yeah,
definitely that energy.
Okay. There was a little bit of Cody getting pissed off at Memphis. I have to say that I feel like that there was a conversation between Cody and Memphis. First off, that Memphis brings always a weird energy to things. This is Memphis.
I'm going to get my loafers on and I'll be ready to party.
Let me get my loafers on and I'll be ready to party. And then he walks away and Cody was just like having a moment to himself, just getting all worked up about Memphis.
Dude, I'm decades ahead of you in this game, bro. Like decades. I'm playing a whole nother season, but like right now you're still in the first one.
Tara, you ever hear that? I'm decades ahead of you.
Yeah.
Decades.
Look, Tyler likes to be three steps ahead. Dr. Will tells you to be three steps ahead. But when Cody plays, he's decades ahead. Cody has been annoyed with Memphis ever since last week or the previous week when he found out that Memphis was saying that different things to Enzo than he was to Cody. And that like this whole wise guys thing really is like, oh, no, he's more loyal to Enzo than he is to me. He's trying to make a fool of me. And he was like, good on you for trying, but get away with it, man. Like, I caught you. And so ever since then, he's been like on to Memphis. And he really, I think, feels like Memphis is trying to play him for a fool in all of these conversations where Memphis is like, hey, we're cool. We're keeping each other. You're keeping me. I'm going to keep you. And I think that Memphis was genuine, like with Christmas leaving, I think he really would have gone to the final. I think he wasn't lying. But Cody just fully did not believe that was the case, given all of the information that Memphis never told him. And so, you know, what was genuine from Memphis came off to Cody as like, you arrogant little man child. How dare you? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be fooled by you and your trickery. I know your lies.
It's that Calif fury.
I just like I rolled my eyes the entire way through the segment, and then I had to remind myself, okay, like clear, because it's the same hypocritical thing that we see every season of Big Brother, where someone is trying to double cross you, even though you're going to double cross them at some point, but they do it first, and so you feel justified in being angry with them, and it's like, so I'm sitting here being like, I know it's just game, but it's like, Cody, like, you're doing the exact same thing. And I know that you know that. So I'm not about to like be that upset, but it's just like, okay, all right. Have your moment, Cody. Talk to the cameras, talk to yourself. It's cool. But you're fooling anybody.
I feel like he knew that was going to make the edit anyways. Also that in addition to that, I feel like he would use, like if he were like, he's doing going to be doing the same thing. I feel like he would use it in a final two speech too. So I'm like, why are you angry right now? You're going to use it in a final two speech.
Yeah.
Cody also is somebody that is very aware of like how the show is edited. And really? I think he's been playing up a certain kind of character in the diary room up until this point. And now he knows it's like, it's end game time. It's time to like take ownership of my game and show people like I'm way ahead of people. Like I'm running this thing. Like this is what I've got. And it's that sort of like that sort of arrogance that like a lot of people want to see from Nicole. That doesn't play as well on somebody like Cody. But I think that that's part of it as well. Yeah, because I'm seeing a few different angles of it in the diary room lately.
He's decades ahead of everybody else.
He's for sure. I mean, I was also going to say before that I feel like he's so angry in the DR the past couple of episodes, at least. So I've definitely seen that shift.
Lavina, I see people in the chat reminding us that Cody is an actor. He is able to, you know, whatever his motivation is, he's able to give us that in the diary room.
Yeah, he's on his way to an Oscar nomination. Let's just say that with his what did he act in? It was like a Hallmark
several
thing, like a
holiday films.
Okay, wow.
Yes,
I'll have to watch those.
Okay, all right.
In my free time,
let's talk about what's going on at the jury house. We spent two segments with the jury tonight. We got to see Tyler show up, and that the jury seemed very impressed with Tyler's resume coming into the game, and then seemingly very disappointed with how things played out for Tyler.
Yeah, this is what I was expecting from the jury, that you know, Tyler takes out Danny. They're like, "Ooh, he made his move. It's Tyler's game to maybe lose." And then, we hear from Ian. Cody and Tyler are the two running the game, so he's expecting to see one of them, and then to watch Cody win the HOH, and then win the veto in such a dominating fashion, and sending Tyler out. Mm-hmm. I think it really cemented for them, like, this is Cody's game to lose. This guy needs to be stopped, and if he's not, then they deserve to lose. Yeah. And that's really the sense that I got there.
Also, that we talked about last night on the show, that boy, they really did Tyler dirty with his BB comic. They didn't really make a meal out of Tyler timing out on the veto competition, which ultimately determined his life in the game. But Lavina, I felt like that they dove into that a little bit more now that Tyler's out of the game, how he timed out on a veto that Cody won in under 5 minutes.
Well, also, I feel like I just feel like Tyler's one of those players. Like, I always say this, like, on every podcast that I've been on, I didn't want to watch an All-Star season without Tyler, a modern one, that is. And I feel like Tyler's such a big name that he should have had a more, you know, iconic comic. And it was just about, like, what was it, like his curls or something like that?
It was Abra Curl Dabra.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it should have been a little bit more of along the lines of, you know, the Janelle, the bombshell one or something better than curls.
Yeah, he looks very frail.
Yes.
Yes.
Very frail.
Very frail. So anyway, the jury is impressed with Cody, and we hear a little bit of reactions from the other players. Anything of note in terms of how the jury is looking at the final four?
I mean, I think in particular, you heard from Ian that he is most looking at Tyler and Cody. Tyler comes in, so we can assume that he's like, okay, Cody's his number one at this point. And I think very importantly, we heard from Kevin, probably the person who has the most reason and the most evidence that we've seen to be anti-Cody, be like, man, Tyler walking in really switched my brain around, and now I think it's all about Cody. And Kevin is the one saying, if nobody cuts Cody, they deserve to lose. So if Kevin is feeling that way, I think that is the way.
He said, okay, I see you, Cody.
Yes. So it's really looking like Cody's to lose at this point. Notably, nothing really about Nicole this time around.
Yeah.
Instead, you know, we got some about Nicole last week with Devon being anti-Nicole and Danny being anti-Nicole. This week, we got Danny being a bit anti-Enzo. That's not surprising given what she said in the house. But we did get a little bit of pushback. I think both from Kevin and from Devon. Kevin saying, like, hey, it was part of his strategy. Devon telling us, like, hey, I kind of want to vote for Enzo, but he's going to need to do something first. And so I think that, you know, good to know that, that those relationships that Enzo developed still exist. They still are there. But we also heard from Tyler something I think which is very important, which is I told Enzo, if you want a chance of winning, you have to get Cody out. And they're all nodding their heads. And I think the fact that Tyler told him as well, it's like doubly bad if it doesn't happen. So I think Enzo, like I said, does have a chance against somebody like Nicole, depending on how it plays out. But it's looking like nobody stands a chance against Cody as it stands.
Yeah, and I think you'll have to wait for 1 week from tonight to find out what the jury house thinks about Nicole when they watch the footage of Nicole's HOH and veto win in this week, sending Memphis out the door.
Yes, and I actually thought this was very interesting, the goodbye messages. Now, unless there's more to Nicole's goodbye message, I was very underwhelmed by it, and I was very impressed with Cody's, because basically I feel like what Cody did is he just took complete credit over the Memphis boot, because Memphis is going to go to the jury house and say, yep, Cody voted me out because he knew about my whole strategy, because he had secretly been with Enzo. And that's why I got evicted, because Cody knew this information. And Nicole is just going to be an afterthought.
And an assist from Enzo, who says, like, yeah, this isn't what I wanted to do, yo, but the house made me do it, which is basically Cody. So he basically said, I have no agency in any of this either.
Mm-hmm. It's so disappointing. His goodbye messages have been so disappointing. I've been seeing a lot of people say that on Twitter, and I could not agree more. He could be saying way more to take some sort of, you know, I guess, ownership of saying, you know, I'm trying to lay low, whatever the case. But he's not even talking about his game, period. He's just saying, oh, I voted with the house.
Because, I don't know, he's serious when he says that's it.
Yeah.
He's so serious. Like, when he's been telling us since day one. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is, what you see is what you get. All right.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. That's it.
I think it's fine as long as he plans on cutting Cody. Mm-hmm. Because again, like, he's making that his storyline. His whole storyline now is, well, I really like him, and he obviously liked me, but he hasn't done anything. So if he does cut Cody, I think it's a slam dunk for Enzo. But if he doesn't, then he's sitting next to Cody and he loses. So,
yeah.
It's really, which would have probably happened anyway.
I think Enzo is a good player, but I think early in the season, we thought that maybe he was an elite player. And I think that he is proving us that there's a ceiling to his game.
It's funny because in the preseason we were pretty low on Enzo because his in biggest problem is that he can do well, he can bond alliances together, he can probably make a deep run, but does he have win equity? And then the season started and we were like, oh, man, it looks like we were wrong about Enzo. And then it's like, oh, maybe after all of this, we were right all along.
Yeah. Keep him out of that God tier. I want to stay at the jury house, because I thought this was interesting that we got this on the show. Devon has a question for Tyler that she wanted to ask him about during the game when it was on Christmas's HOH. You said you wanted to go home and take the spot of either Devon or Bailey for the Black Lives Matter movement. And Devon wanted to ask him, was that strategic? And Tyler says that no, he was completely serious, and Devon was really relieved to hear that. But Amon, that was the issue, that Devon thought that it was a game move. I thought that she was upset that, oh, he just wanted to go see his girlfriend, and he was saying it was for the movement.
So, yeah, I thought the conversation was framed a little differently than what I would have liked to have seen. I think that the general message is that I think that what she wanted to hear at the end of it all was that was not, like, he was serious when he said that and he meant that. I'm under the impression, I'm not at the jury house, but I'm under the impression that they have much more time when the cameras are not off, when the cameras are off, to talk. And I'm sure that they probably went into a little bit more detail, because it seemed like that was packaged in a way that production wanted to get this message out of there. I am glad that it happened, because, I mean, Devon and Tyler are my favorite players of Big Brother. They just are. I've wanted them on the season since we found out about All-Stars. I'm sad that things worked out this way, but I'm glad that there is some sort of reconciliation between the two of them. I think that there is still, I wish that there was a bit more of a dialogue about, hey, it's fine if Christmas didn't want you to go home. It's fine if production interfered, but you could have at least told us before we went out the door looking stupid. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I'm sure that conversation probably did happen. I think that production wanted a message to get out there. And I personally, I believe Tyler, I never believed that he had any ill will in his heart. I just wanted the conversation to take place so that people could understand, like, look, that was not okay, y'all. Like, that was, you can be a very good person and make mistakes. And he made a mistake, and I'm glad that he cops to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because I don't think it was ever in doubt that his motivation was he wanted to go home.
I think he wanted out. Yeah.
In the house, Davon and Kevin in particular did think, well, maybe this was all a game, especially once she found out that that Tyler and Christmas had a final two. She was like, oh, so he knew that she would never evict him. Must have all been a ploy. So I think there was a question in her head, and that's obviously why she asked. Okay. I think to us who were able to watch it from, you know, above, we saw that he really did want to quit, but I think for her, she just had that lingering doubt inside.
Okay, yeah, she thought that there was some sort of like strategic element to it, which there clearly wasn't. Yeah,
which I never really understood why you would think that, because what is the
upside
goal? Like, what do you achieve out of snowing them using Black Lives Matter, and then what do you get? I don't know. I never really understood that argument, but nonetheless, I'm glad that the two of them, it was heartwarming to see the two of them sort of come together. Yeah. And I personally needed that as a fan of the both of them. It really helped me move past that.
Okay. Let's keep the good feelings coming, because it's time for some videos from home. Taryn, have they done this before?
In the jury house?
Videos
I don't think
in the jury
so.
House?
I don't
yeah.
think so. No,
boy, what
no.
a year 2020. First, all the Survivor 40 contestants get loved one messages. Don't doubt that the people in the house aren't getting theirs somewhat soon. Look for that one of these nights this week. And then all of the Big Brother contestants get videos from home.
Yeah, and I believe they knew that they were going to get this like prior to coming on the season. I think it was part of like the like, hey, you know, if you make the jury, we're going to give you.
Didn't Davon say you get like a call or something? I think I heard her say that on the feeds at some point.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm. Yeah, so I liked it. I like spending time with the jury. I don't like that we don't usually get much from them. I think that, you know, we were watching these people for so long, and then they're just gone just like that, and we see so little of them. It's nice to check in and get a sense of where they're at, and and I
production
like hearing,
knows. I was just gonna say that.
Yeah,
you got Davon, you got all these people up in there, and then in the house you got Memphis and Christmas and Nicole and Cody and Enzo. Come on, show us what we want.
Yeah,
and I'm glad that they did.
They want to fill the show
of the week.
They want to fill the show with people that they know that the fans love.
Yeah,
we love them.
They have like two former house guests as loved ones. Like they're gonna really pass up the opportunity to show off Angela and Dominic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we got to hear from Kevin's husband.
Mm-hmm.
The opener.
Oh, he's very so sweet. Cute. Oh my God. Yes. Good for Kevin.
Yeah. We got to see David's dad. I love David's dad.
He looks just like him. Oh my God.
I know. It's like, scary.
I'm like an old person. People used to tell that to me. I was, oh my God, Amon, you look just like your dad. And then here I am saying, oh my God, Dave, you look just like your dad. I was like, oh my God. The gene pool is deep.
I loved seeing David again. Like I didn't realize until I saw him just how much I miss his like positive energy and enthusiasm
positive
for
vibes.
Being there. Yeah. It was so nice to like see him and he was smiling. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to see also Ian's girlfriend check in there.
I thought it was super sweet when Tyler was like, you got to marry that one or something along the lines. I thought that was super sweet.
Yeah. Slow down. row.
Yeah, like, yeah. You don't know.
What's
those
the
people.
Rush? Yeah. We got to see Dave Onn's little girl.
I know, aww. Cadence. I mean, the true BB All-Star. I mean, she was on BB 17 as a baby, and now she's back as, like, this big girl that can put words together and has, like, a smile and can talk and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, the, like, that's the true BB baby for me. I love Cadence. She's so cute. She's so cute.
Nice Danny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her little headphones. I love that.
I know. She'll
be like a Twitch streamer.
I know.
We got to see Dom and Tennessee and Dog.
So good to see Dom.
Second time this week.
There was he had a cat on his lap too.
I feel like I missed that.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, because he said three. There were three of them, right? Yeah. But yeah, Ice. Like yes, yeah. Bill and Chai. He looks exactly the same.
Right.
He does.
It's but insane.
He's not aged at all.
He was like 21, right? When he was on the season.
He was like super young.
He's like 20 or 21.
Like he's like Dorian Gray over there.
Maybe staying away from Big Brother, you know, makes me gracefully.
Yeah. And then finally, we also got to see Angela and they broke Tyler.
Look, those two are in love.
Yeah.
Like that, I saw that and I was like, y'all, there is nothing that's going to break y'all apart. Like that's, wow. Like,
yeah.
Good for them.
I feel like I never see her get very emotional.
Right?
I mean, judging from, you know, on BB20, I don't know her personally, but I mean, judging from what we saw on TV, I feel like she never really got emotional and she was like starting to cry. I mean, Tyler.
She is heart aching. Like she is missing him a lot. And he's been missing her. Like we've known it since the get go. And I think that that's a big reason as to why Tyler has not had his head in the game. And you know, if that's what's on his heart, like I'm not going to knock the guy for like not being able to play the best game that he possibly could, because obviously he is just wanting to go home to somebody that he really, really, really adores. So I'm happy with that, that they're going to be reunited soon enough.
Yeah. And she obviously knows like how hard it has been for Tyler. And you could tell in the message, like how hard she is trying to like give
keep
him
together.
All of the, I'm proud of yous, like all of the positive vibes, like every possible.
No, you don't send
angle,
positive vibes.
Everything that she can to make sure he like understands like, hey, I'm still with you. I'm still supporting you. Like you should be proud of yourself. Like any possible angle to make sure that he feels as comforted as possible. It was nice to see.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We went back to the house then for our speeches. Yeah. Christmas, she was running out of speeches to say to everybody. She's been on the block so many times now. Memphis tried to have a little bit of his Hail Mary to say like, hey, your word is everything. Remember that, guys. Don't break your word to me, Memphis.
Towards the end of the speech, I thought something had happened, and like something happened between him and Cody, and like he was going to throw Cody under the bus for something. But then it was some kind of weird comment about what was it, like grease in the kitchen or something.
Yeah, the start of the fire. Yes. Yeah.
So I believe it was David that started the grease fire, and then Cody grabbed the fire extinguisher and was just like, wait, how does this? And then Memphis just like ripped it out of his hands and put out the fire.
Yeah.
That's what he was referring to.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, thought it was something. But no.
Yeah. By the way, in the jury house, they talked about it like, hey, Tyler, come check out the jury mansion. It's so fun here.
We got turtles.
We got bats. Yeah. We have coyotes.
No bats, David.
We haven't seen any of the like bats inside, have we? I think we've only been outside in the jury house.
No.
Social distancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Set an example.
Yeah. Okay. Ultimately, Memphis is going to get voted out by a vote of 2-0. Amon, did Memphis seem a little salty to you?
Not really. And I really didn't expect him to be that way. I was praying for a blindside today because, you know, if we were going to get anything, it would have come from a blindside. But he's just been so Memphis this whole season. Like he's such an unflappable person, which is kind of a bit of a stark contrast from what we've seen back in BB10, because he was waiting to knock Jerry's head off like at one point. So I'm like it is what it is. Like I'm glad that he's able to have like a cool head about him about this game. I would have liked to see a little bit more salt, to be honest. Like not because I want to see Memphis be upset, but because I just want to see something happen. Like I just want something. Like give
whatever.
Me TV. But he's like, oh yeah, whatever. Yeah. It's a game. Like I'm not mad at all. Like I'm gonna go to the jury and sing all their praises. They're all great people. They can come to my restaurant. I'm even fix them up a drink. Like no, be mad. 1 second, be mad for 1 second, please.
For a guy that was just blindsided like that, honestly, that's probably one of the like calmest blindside interviews I've ever seen. It's pretty rare that somebody's like genuinely expecting to stay blindsided in, especially this late in the game. And then like they leave and they're usually crazy pissed. And like,
you get that close, like you're mm-hmm. that close and you leave. Oh, yeah, if they do that to me, I would not go quietly into that dark night. Like, nah.
Oh, no.
You could see that Memphis was like annoyed. Like, I can't believe that just happened. But he really held it together.
Mm-hmm. He did.
I feel like old Memphis, like Amani just touched on, he was going to rip Jerry's head off. I feel like if that was him right now, he would be. And blindsided today, I feel like he would pull a whistle nut. Like, I feel like the whistle nut blindside was one of my recent favorite blindsides. And I feel like he would have done that, right? I don't know. Memphis, come on, you disappoint us.
Yeah.
Something. He did give a cornbread.
Yes, he did swear on the way out. Did you make out what he said?
I mean, I assume he said, like see ya, assholes, or something. Like, whoa. That was his catchphrase.
That's the best we can do. Come on, Memphis.
That's his catchphrase?
Yeah.
What context does he use that catchphrase?
It's all the time. That's what makes it a catchphrase.
I think Nicole Anthony like used it for him tonight too. I think I saw her tweet that like up in the words of Memphis. See you later.
Wow.
Asshole.
Okay. Yeah,
he just bounced from a group conversation and say that.
Okay. Wow.
Memphis. He's very big on like insult humor. That's his thing.
Yeah. Okay, here he is talking with Julie. I thought this was the highlight of the interview for me.
You want to be fluid a little bit, but at the same time, it's like those are
you were fluid. You were fluid, Memphis. You had a lot of deals going.
Was he that fluid?
Yeah, I don't think Julie understands what fluid means.
He seemed pretty solid.
Yeah. Memphis's game was literally the exact opposite of fluid. It was the most rigid game I've ever honestly seen work that well. And it did work.
Fluid thing that you could that she was probably referring to was the whole wise guys thing. But even that was comprised mainly of people that were already in the committee, minus Enzo. So like, really,
yeah,
really, cool. Julie.
Well, also, didn't they show a segment of him telling Tyler, hey, man, I'm sending you home? I don't think that's very fluid because he's basically saying, I'm like, there's no way you're going to convince me. That's the opposite of fluid.
Opposite of fluid.
Cody's game is very fluid. He sets up like five different alliances, and then the one that wins competitions is the one that he chooses. And he sets up five different sub alliances within the alliances. Whichever one works out, he goes with that one. That's fluid gameplay. Memphis says these six people. Yes. And then in week seven, I'm going to make two final threes with these three other people. And then my final two is this person. And then we're going to do it this way. And he just followed that playbook the whole way through.
Yeah, like if you're going to be fluid, you don't say you let the cards fall where they may. You force the hand. You know what I mean? Like you make sure that those cards are coming to you. So, nah.
Yeah. Okay. Then Memphis got to see his goodbye messages. Christmas, said to him, she loved playing with you. You're unique and incredible person. But Amon, she didn't go too over the top.
I was underwhelmed. I thought there was much, much more to come, but I guess not.
Maybe not.
She said she was always most loyal to Memphis. Like, hold on, Christmas. This is not Big Brother 19. You don't get to make stuff up about your experience just because you're on another season. You chose to be loyal to Memphis like 3 weeks ago, max. Mm-hmm. Before then, you were most loyal to Tyler by a large margin. In fact, when you were invited into the committee, you were like, ew, gross. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Ultimately, we're going to hear from Cody. We touched on this earlier about how he loved their final two, but you made two wise guys. Cody needed to give himself his best chance to win, which I thought, Taryn, that was very Memphis speak to Memphis.
Exactly. It was exactly what Memphis did. And it was very like game respect game kind of thing. Like, you thought you were playing one on me, but I was actually a step ahead, without making it seem too like, I got you. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is, my best route to the end, you're just too good. You're just too good.
Too good.
And I needed you out of the way. And you could literally see Memphis like,
I mean, Memphis and Cody from day one have had that mutual respect, because it was like, is it the Renegades or is it the Hitmen? That kind of thing. Like, oh, well, why don't we just come together type of situation? And I feel like that's the first thing that I thought of when I was watching Memphis react to Cody's goodbye message, because I was like, he's probably remembering all of this and he's going to take that for sure back to the jury house with him. I feel like he's kind of a lock on Cody if Cody were to get there.
Okay. Julie teased, or the announcer teased, at the opening of the show that Kacer would be back with a special message. And Julie brings the house guests back to the living room. And this was a little bit of a surprise for the house guests.
Come on, Julie.
Expect the unexpected.
Can I just say that Julie has been so like personable this season? She's so, I feel like she's a little bit more comfortable and she just says what she wants.
And
she
ad-libs.
Oh my God. She is, COVID has changed her. That's all I can say. Quarantine has changed her. I feel like she's not able to like feel her daily oats on the talk anymore. So she's giving it all to us on Big Brother, which, you know what? Fine.
Okay, everybody, expect the unexpected.
Expect the unexpected.
She's trying to like do that thing where like somebody is like whining and then she's trying to like whine back like in a mocking way. But the content of what she's saying has it doesn't fit what she's doing. It's like he's like, no, come on, Julie. She's not like, come on, Cody. Like instead, it's like she was planning on saying expect the unexpected, but instead she got like her wires crossed and she's like, expect the unexpected.
It was a great deep dive.
Amazing analysis, Taryn.
She's awkward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's just an awkward person.
So we go to the backyard and hey, it's a flashback to something we did talk about coming into this season. Lavina, Night Moves is back. We're working on the Night Moves.
I'm so excited. First of all, I wasn't expecting that. I was already excited because it was Kacer. And I was looking at the clock and I was like, there's like 3 or 4 minutes left in this show. What are they going to do with Kacer? Like, I'm annoyed. I wanted more. But then I saw he was introducing this HOH competition and I was like, I was absolutely not expecting this, because coming into the season, I was like, okay, it's an all-star season. I feel like we might get some throwback competitions. Not really. And by throwback, I mean like BB6 throwback, that kind of era, but we did it and we didn't see, a lot of the favorites, but now we are, and I'm super excited.
Okay. Taryn, we got the flashback to the BB6 of it all, but how is this competition going to work with three people?
Well, they'll just be three people. So how it works is that you move in the amount of spaces that a knight does. So like two across, one over, or three across, one over, whatever it is. And then you land on a space, you turn over the tile. Now nobody can land on that tile. And you keep going until you run out of spaces to land on.
Got it.
So basically three people will start, and then I'm not sure like how to do it symmetrically. One person might be at a disadvantage if they start like in the middle of two other people. So we'll have to like see where they do that. Maybe there's like mathematically like a solid place to start each person. But that's basically how it works. In Big Brother 6, what they did was that they had four, I believe, competitors against the two from the friendship. And so they were able to just immediately block out the other two from the friendship and eliminate them, and then give James the win. This was actually also played in Big Brother 16. It was a battle of the block where Cody actually became the head of household because Amber and Jocasta beat Victoria and Brittany. Cody has witnessed.
So he Victoria does know how to play this competition.
Yes, he has seen it before. Cody also, you know, is pretty good at these kinds of games. He actually beat Ian in backgammon once, at least, which is pretty hard to do. Mm-hmm. And I would expect him to do very well in this competition. Now, the thing is about this is that obviously Cody and Enzo can team up against Christmas, and they probably will at the start. But because Christmas will want Cody to lose more than Enzo to lose, she will perhaps be able to lock Cody into a spot and essentially, like, as she loses, take out Cody with her, which could give Enzo the win as long as Enzo's competent enough to take what she gives him and she's competent enough to actually manage to do that.
That's a lot of ifs. I'm not subscribing to that theory. And also, Enzo did not seem like he had any idea what this was going to be about.
How do you play the night moves?
Yeah, I'm kind of okay.
Hold on.
Night moves. What are we doing, yo?
Yeah. Oh, I also like that, like, they were like, oh, that's why it's King Kaser.
Yes.
Oh, it's obviously because why else would it be King Kaser?
Yeah.
We need some sort of justification for this.
I would love to see if Cody's downfall comes because of a loss here for Cody. Here in this competition, after all of the Kaser shade from this season, even to last night, where he questioned why did Kaser even have a BB comic?
King Kaser? King of what? Going home before he gets to the jury? Like, I don't know, what is he the king of? Why does he even have a comic?
King of America's vote?
Rob, can you imagine? It's Christmas against Cody against Enzo. Cody goes out, and then Christmas throws the HOH to Enzo. What? Mm-hmm. Why? What's happening? Nicole goes over to Christmas. She's like, "What did you do? You just sealed my fate." And Christmas goes, "No, I sealed your partner's fate."
It'd be amazing.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Like,
I can't believe that Cody would let the producers goad him into saying some stupid ass stuff about Kaser like that. Second of all, I'm kind of upset that we didn't get more of this throughout the season. Like, I would have what was the season with Survivor Ghost Island where they had like a bunch of the replays of like the most epic mistakes and stuff? That would have been like the perfect thing to do for All-Stars after what, 14 years? To see a bunch of repeat comps and then we get some Big Brother lore mixed in with that. Like, it would have just been so engaging for the audience and for the players themselves. Obviously, this one was a bit lost on people like Cody because he was like, he was looking at that clip like, okay. But Cody, I would have enjoyed that a lot. Cody could never and will never.
Did you see when Julia announced that a former All-Star is coming, they did a cut to Nicole's face and you just know that she was seeing stars, as in Janelle, as in Janelle stars. She was like, oh my God, Janelle's coming.
Why would they have her here? They ended the show. I thought that I think that Julie, they did not get a sign off tonight. They just went right to the house guests. And then we awkwardly listened to the house guests talk crap about Kaser for 20 seconds.
So when did they do that? When did he do that? When did he record that?
Who knows?
He lives in California.
Yeah,
he lives out here.
He looks exactly the same.
Get the hell out of here.
I love that cat. I love that.
Oh boy.
Well, he lives here, so it's like, it's probably like, that's, you know, that's only why they wouldn't have,
it was
like
the only person they could get. That's all it is to it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He was nothing but nice to all these people. I don't understand.
Except for that speech at the end. He called Cody, he said he was in a love triangle. That was it.
Welcome to Big Brother. Yeah. Dot GIF.
Okay. Let's take some questions. Yeah, Amon, what are you going
to
say?
I was just going to say, it's like, I mean, they're upset because, like, people like Janelle and Kaser are universally liked, but then you claim to care that you don't want to give a shit. You don't want to give a damn about what the audience thinks. So it's like, you can't have it both ways, girl. Like, either, you know, own it or not.
Okay. Let's take question number one. Wall yellers suck. That's for you, Taryn. Do you think that Julie Moonves is smitten with Memphis because she didn't tell him how many votes he lost by? It's possible. It's possible. That, you know, she might be rusty on her Big Brother 10 trivia.
Well, the problem was that she was like, I don't need to tell Memphis about the committee. I don't need to tell Memphis about the committee. And she forgot to tell him about losing unanimously.
Yeah, she could have said, and you lost to Dan Gieseling.
In a 7-0 vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In season 10.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Seth says, what was with that hallway interaction during the voting between Enzo and Cody? I think Cody was mad for not totally blindsiding him. Did anybody catch that?
I believe, and this is a guess, but I believe what was happening there is that they were sort of reenacting Nicole asking Enzo who to vote for last week. They were just joking about that last night. When Enzo was like, how do I vote? Cody was like, come on, stop it. I believe that was what was happening.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
All right.
That was a quick.
Nick says, with Cody and Enzo likely teaming up against Christmas in this comp, does she have any chance of winning it? Should we just pencil Cody and Enzo into the final three now? Not necessarily, because it's going to really come down to the veto.
This is actually probably worse for Cody that they can guarantee that Christmas loses, because Christmas winning would have guaranteed Cody a spot in the final three, because neither Nicole or Enzo vote Cody out, and Christmas can't vote if she's HOH, but if she's not HOH, she now can vote. Mm-hmm. And that means that if she wins the veto, she has the ability to vote somebody out. So if Cody's not HOH and she wins the veto, he's going to go home. So it's actually not. It's not necessarily advantageous for Cody.
And does Cody know this, Taryn?
I have to imagine that he thinks it to some degree, but I think in Cody's mind, he'd still probably rather take the risk of not having Christmas in the final three at all and just knock her out of the competition and then take his chances in the veto than have to deal with Christmas in the final three.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is from Robin Gibbs, who says, does Enzo really think his goodbye messages will work on the jury? Cody just blew up his game more. I'm so pissed at his diary room BS. You got no balls. That's it, yo. Robin is very upset.
I mean, go off, Robin. I mean, that's exactly what we've been drag him. Like, that's what we've been saying. And I don't know if, I mean, I think that Enzo does believe that kind of stuff works, because we don't see any other kind of behavior from him. So I think that he knows that he needs another move, but.
I honestly feel like he's not even thinking about it. I feel like he's just like he's not thinking of it to use his goodbye messages in a strategic way. I think he's just giving a goodbye message in his brain.
Enzo is the epitome of a social player in the modern game, which is, and he recognizes this fact, which is, I'm just going to have better relationships with the jury. So when I go to the final two, they're going to vote for me. That's how it's worked out multiple times in the last few seasons. That's what I'm doing. And what I'm showing to them is, hey, I was on your side. I had the better relationship with you. It's those other people that got you out. Mm-hmm. He was closer to Memphis. He was closer to Tyler.
I wanted to keep you, yo.
Exactly. Why do people like it's just crazy to me that like because I get that line of logic only so far, because why do you think that you're the only person that has good relationships with people in the jury?
He genuinely does have the best relationships, though. I mean, you know, to be fair,
but even so, like, that's like you, I it can't be enough, Enzo. It just cannot be enough, because Cody is not a bad guy. Cody hasn't really pissed anybody off, with the exception of Kevin, and that's just one person. And Kevin is becoming a champion for him right now. And then if people are trying to be the most well-rounded jurors as possible, right, and they're trying to take everything into consideration, which is what people should be doing. And I don't know, maybe Enzo never really had to think about it because he never actually went to jury. He might get a crash course once again this season, but it's like, If we can't focus solely on the social game, because I'm not mad at Enzo, I'm not mad at Cody, what else is there to go off of? The comps. And he has murdered you guys, almost breaking a record that he probably will break if he's sitting next to you in the final two. So it's like, Enzo, what's not clicking? I feel like he knows this, but he's not going to do anything about it. That's just how I feel. It's just...
This is what I talked about specifically at the start of jury, when Ian was talking about being a bitter juror, saying that he was never going to vote for people that betrayed him. When Devon was in her speech talking about how honesty is important to me, I'm going to vote according to that sort of thing. When Kevin is threatening his jury vote to Cody specifically and ranting to Enzo, I hate this guy. And Enzo's talking to him about family, and they're staying up late every single night leading up to Kevin's eviction. And he feels so confident that Kevin's not going to vote for Cody because he's being so bitter against Cody. And so the first three jurors, he's like, they are all so bitter against Cody. They all like me. Like, I'm in a great spot here with Cody. And I think it's just, he has never been able to shake that. He had a much better relationship with David. He had a much better relationship with Tyler. He has a better relationship with Memphis. He has a better relationship with Christmas. Like, Enzo is feeling like, I have these people, and so many of them are mad at Cody, and they made it so clear that they're mad at Cody, and they basically encouraged him to take Cody to the end.
What if he's playing all of us and he's just planning on cutting Cody at the end? What if he's playing all of us and he shocks us all? And then
that would be amazing. That would be great. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's just crazy to me that you would think that after spending all this time with people to get these really good relationships that you're banking on, that it might have like become clear to you at some point, are they really going to be that mad at Cody at the end of all of this when they have enough time to sit there and be in the jury and talk about everything and calm down and all this stuff? It's just like, where is the logic? And so where is it?
I have to argue against that because it has happened so many times that is exactly what happens.
But like, Enzo's not watching Big Brother, though. Like, I feel like he's not taking that into account. I feel like he is just doing exactly what he did the last time. I don't think that he's analyzing Paul's loss.
I mean, analyzing Tyler's loss. He had an actual conversation with Tyler about it. Where Tyler's like, "Yeah, man, it just sometimes doesn't work for you. You know, you're doing well, and they just don't vote for you because they don't like you. They don't want you to win." And he had long conversations with Kevin about it. Like, hey, he can do as well as he wants, but unless he treats people right, he's not going to win this thing. He's learning this from people who experienced it and have watched it.
I will say that, unlike Memphis's game, I do think that this is a fluid situation. I do think that Enzo would take Cody to the final two now, but I think if Cody ends up making Enzo feel like he's on the outs and like that Nicole is his real final two, that I do think that there is a possibility that he could end up going in a different direction and not taking Cody to the end. Even if that's not his plan right now, I think he could get there.
I thought so too. I was kind of feeling like maybe Enzo was more likely to cut Cody than Nicole was. Seeing his diary rooms, I'm not getting that sense right now, at least. I really am. He's like my number one Cody. I can't have my guy Cody cut here. So it is really feeling like he is going to stick to Cody. But I agree with you. Again, it's 2 weeks to go.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
He may also feel like that Cody has the best chance to win that final two, and then he plans on Cody taking him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's another way to look at it.
Yeah.
At this point, that's his only, like, Nicole's not going to take him. Christmas is going to take him. So,
yeah. Okay. But if it was Christmas, Cody and Nicole, Christmas, Cody and Enzo, Christmas would take Enzo, right?
In that spot, yeah.
But she's almost no chance she wins the final three.
If she's competing against Enzo, I think she might be able to get to part three. Maybe. And then if part three was the crapshoot that it used to be, she'd have a chance. If it's questions, I'd give the edge to Cody, but it's still anything can happen.
Okay. All right. Let's take another question. Oh, our friend, Sharon Tharp, she says, you talked before, mostly about Survivor, about how returning players tend to model their games after the winner of their season. How do you think the remaining house guests are playing like their season's winners or not? Okay. Interesting question. I guess from the Enzo perspective, has anybody seen anything? Is he borrowing anything from Hayden?
I really don't think so. I think that Enzo is playing a very similar game to his previous season. I think that he, you know, what he should have taken from Hayden is, more willingness to be a little more cutthroat, and honestly just win comps. Mm-hmm. And it's not there. And I think he's just playing Enzo again.
Yeah.
Yep.
If I could think of anybody besides, like Taryn said it before, I was just going to say he's probably taking notes from BB12 himself. But I think that if it was anybody, I think that he could be looking at the winners such as Casey, just as an example in the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, everyone really liked her. She was really nice to everybody. And, you know, I mean, granted, she beasted the comps.
I'm just so adamant about this because I feel like, because I like Enzo. I like Enzo. And like out of all the people left in the game, it would be so satisfying to see him win, but he doesn't deserve it. He really doesn't deserve it. And he's not going to get it. And that's just so annoying.
I know I suck, yo.
I think that obviously Cody is taking, I mean, we know that Cody is taking pointers from Derek.
But is Nicole also? Who's running the better Derek playbook?
I think that Cody obviously is. Mm-hmm. I think that he has learned how to, because he's a little bit less impulsive. I mean, he never really was. I mean, especially if you juxtapose him with his brother. But I think that he's been a lot more calculated this season. He's been able to sort of, you know, tell people like, no, you know what? This is probably the best move for all of us going forward. And he's just been a much more, reasonable guy this time around. And I feel like that's been a very big portion as to why he's here in the end.
Yeah, I think both Cody and Nicole learned a lot playing with Derek the first time. You saw Nicole incorporate some of that in Big Brother 18. She's definitely incorporating some of that here in 22. And obviously Cody, you know, learned a lot from Derek, and he's playing very much, you know, the Derek playbook here in 22, which to be fair is also the Cody. They played very closely together. They, collaborated on all of their decisions. So, it's not entirely Derek's playbook. He helped create that playbook. Sure. But those two the most for sure. Memphis, I have no idea what Memphis did. Memphis's game was very different from his first game. But it was also very different from a Dan Gheesling game. I tweeted out that like I feel like Memphis actually took some wrong lessons. Tyson always said that, if you're a winner, you've never been voted out before, you kind of have a disadvantage coming into a returning player season, playing against people who have been voted out before, because they know what it's like. They know the signs. And it's a lot easier to blindside you if you've never been voted out before. And I think that in a weird way, Memphis played with Dan, and Dan never cut Memphis, never betrayed Memphis. Like, of all people, Memphis learned to trust too much with Dan. Like, he played the game with Dan as his ally, and he was like, yeah, you can have allies and they don't burn you, just like Dan. Dan's an ally that doesn't burn you. And so he thought that he was like locked in with Enzo and with Cody, and they wouldn't burn him just like Dan Gheesling. But it was just so funny because, you know, obviously Ian had the complete opposite experience with Dan. Mm-hmm. And he came into the season like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I mean, Dan put Memphis on the block too, so that's the first thing I thought of.
Exactly, he stayed safe, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But if I were to think of Christmas, honestly, I can't think of anybody for her, but this is more so a joke. I feel like she thinks that she's playing like Paul, but it's not necessarily working out, but I don't know. I really
She came in knowing that people did not really like her. Mm-hmm. She knew that.
Yeah.
She came in here wanting to sort of brand her image from being like this really, really mean person from BB19, being a part of this mob, being a part of like this big bullying crowd. And I think that whole thing with Bailey and Devon, she really, really convinced herself that I am doing this strictly because of gain. And then when she didn't get the proper response from Bailey and Devon that she thought that she was deserved, that's when Christmas came right back out again. So is she playing Paul's game? I don't think so. I think that she's just being Christmas once again, and she tried not to, and it didn't work. So
okay,
here we are again.
Take another question. This is a video clip. This is from Night Moves Season 6. I forgot how gaudy the old Vito necklace was.
I guess so.
Is there a big difference between the old Vito necklace and the new Vito necklace?
It is giving you like Olympic medal types.
What, is the new one smaller?
It's like just a string now, isn't it? Just a black string.
Oh, the ribbon is smaller?
There's no ribbon. I think it's just a string.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That is giving me very, you know, Joanne fabric. That was my first thought. And okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
This is from Nolan. If Christmas wins HOH and Nicole ends up being the deciding vote, who would be most likely to end up voting out, Cody or Enzo? Also, if Cody is the deciding vote, who would he vote out between Enzo and Nicole? All right. Long question. If Christmas is HOH, Nicole ends up being the deciding vote, who would she send out? She'd send out Enzo.
Definitely Enzo.
Yeah.
No question there. Second question is the more interesting one, where it's either, because again, we've talked about this before, like who does Cody pick between the two
Cody
of them?
Cody is the deciding vote. Who would he vote out, Enzo or Nicole?
I think it's a slightly different formula in the final four than it is in the final three. And the reason for that is that he may decide, if I can trust Nicole 100%, I might prefer having Nicole in the final three with me to compete against Christmas over Enzo. Because if Enzo is competing against Christmas, he might lose. And then I'm facing Christmas in part three. Whereas if Nicole is there and she beats Christmas and it's me versus Nicole in the part three, then I'm solid. So that may factor in at the final four, where it obviously doesn't in the final three.
Okay. All right. A couple more questions. Emily says, should they have had more old school comps like Night Moves this season to throw off the new school players? Think they should have had more nostalgia comps? Mm-hmm. Yes. I think we all agree. Yes. We all agree with that. The answer is always yes.
Get the lore. Yes. We need the lore, like Amon said.
Yes. Yeah, as much as I was like giddy about seeing this competition and seeing Kacer stand next to it, he should have been standing next to the pressure cooker.
Wow.
Right, yeah. That was number one on my list.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Especially at the final four, like it really matters. Like you're sticking in there. You're not giving this one up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. The Great Liv says, does the person who starts in the opposite corner of the board from Christmas have the best chance of winning the HOH?
Yes. If that person is Cody.
Does it matter?
It potentially does. Again, it depends on how they're set up. But if Christmas is on one side, say Cody's in the middle, Enzo is on the other side, then Cody and Enzo will both head for Christmas to try and block her as much as possible. And then Cody will be the one probably, you know, closed in a little bit more than Enzo in that spot. But, you know, you can always potentially strategize your way out of it. But, you know, It's probably going to be more down to just like who gets lucky with their spot after they take out Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the thing. When I heard that, like just the soundbite of Enzo, I think, and a couple other people saying, what is this game? Like, I don't know what this is. I was so ready to make fun of them and be like, how do you guys not know what this is? Ugh, the old school players could never, whatever. But then I was like, Lavina, you wouldn't even know how to do this. So I was like, I would be so trash at this. So I should probably not make fun of other people.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, look, no matter, I mean, it doesn't matter where you're standing in relation to me, y'all gonna win because like the board game strategy chess checkers, any of that stuff, Othello, all of that stuff, never really been my forte. I'm more of like a detective kind of guy. Give me my clues,
yes.
You know, give me my games of chance, like Trouble or Sorry or something like that.
Guess who?
Yeah,
it was guess who? Yes,
yes.
Deductive stuff. I will mop the floor with you. But when it comes to checkers,
playing chess and not checkers.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a lot of like Cody going like Enzo.
Right.
Yeah. Yo, what'd you say, yo? I didn't see it. Okay, say it again, yo. Say it in my good ear. Okay. All right. This is from Caleb, who says, we received no inspirational parting words from Julie tonight. Can you just give us some yourselves? Okay. Well, I don't have a Bible verse at the ready.
I do want to say that I'm feeling a little down. I feel like it's almost like Julie doesn't care about us anymore. Like maybe she's not proud of us. I don't know.
Yeah, shout out to Hamster Watch. She tweeted like she didn't give us any parting words. Now I don't know how to live my life for the rest of the week.
I think she was a little bit too shook by, you know, the house flipping last minute. So she was like, I can't come up with these inspirational quotes.
So you guys expect the unexpected. No words tonight.
So the week also that Dr. Will was the neighbor, I don't think that we got the inspirational words. So I feel like that if they feel like that they drop a bomb on the house, then they feel like, let's just listen in on the house guests because he would get their reaction to stuff. But I will give you since we had King Kaser, I will give you a Julie Chen Moonves quote that says, let's see, how about... By justice, a king builds up the land, but he who exacts gifts tears it down. Good night, everybody. There you go.
Wow. I mean, I think my life has been changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
I just feel like I'm looking at things in a whole new light. I just feel like...
Yeah. Felt very relaxing.
Yeah. Okay. Amon, anything else about tonight's Big Brother 22?
No, I'm quite content. I feel like any episode with Davon in it is good for me. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that her and Tyler got a chance to talk. Vote for Davon for AFP, and that's it for me.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. It could be a temporary truce between Tyler and Davon as the battle for AFP gets closer.
I feel like
Davon had a good episode. I feel like she saw her daughter. She questioned Tyler. She kind of like she feels like the leader of the jury house.
Mm.
She always and she, I feel is, like she, isn't she? I feel like
why
she's
can't
getting,
we make her the leader of the BB house?
Regular house.
Let her shine in the jury, Davon. Please.
Well, it's like she's nobody. It's like she's not going to be paranoid in the jury house. Like she's not going to be he's saying that Danny's running the game, but he's lying to me.
Oh man!
Nobody to fact check.
Yeah. How about you, Lavina? Anything else you want to add tonight?
Well, we're first off co-signed for the Davon for AFB. And then also, I'm happy that we're in the home stretch. I'm still happy that we got a season. You know, at the end of the day, we got a season. And I know that it's not what everyone wanted or expected out of like these particular players. We were so excited in the beginning, but I'm just happy that we got a season. You know, the world's absolutely insane. So we got to watch our favorite show and do these podcasts together. And happy to be here.
Yeah.
Snaps to that.
The real lesson was the friends we made along the way.
Yeah. I got four weeks of Kaser this season. Mm-hmm. Nobody
exactly.
can
tell
and another night tonight.
Exactly. 4 weeks in one day.
Yeah.
And two whole minutes. It was worth it.
Yeah.
No, it was a whole day, Lavina.
Taryn,
yeah, you're right.
They'll play that clip again on Monday night.
Exactly. Ah. 2 days. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that.
And then it'll be in the previously on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, and then maybe it'll be in the recap of the recap next week.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So Kaser will be back for that one too. Okay. All right. Let's talk about what else is going on here on robiswebsite.com. And look who is back. It's Puya and Liana to talk about episode number 4 of The Masked Singer. Puya texted me to tell me about who was revealed on this week's episode of The Masked Singer. I couldn't believe it. Check it out on our Rehapups feed and our Masked Singer feed. Then, that's coming up this weekend. That Aman, I know you are a fan of the musical theater. Robin Akiva Need a Musical is happening. What? Jason Curtis Rivera has been working for, I believe, a year plus on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, the musical, coming this weekend. Be on the lookout for that. I think Saturday night we should have that for you.
Are there auditions?
No, he already recorded it. I haven't heard it yet. I haven't heard it. We're gonna have to get it dropped on us on Saturday.
Okay. That, I look forward to that. That sounds like a lot of
okay. Then we had I forgot to ask Brendan and Rachel all of my Amazing Race questions about last night's premiere. But I had a great recap of the Amazing Race 32 premiere with Jessica Lease and Mike Bloom. That's right. Yes. Taryn, once upon a time, that this was very much rumored that Tyler and Angela were going to be on Amazing Race 32.
I think he said he'd do it on the season.
I think they didn't get asked. I think that was the issue.
Yeah, I don't think he was.
Yeah, but they had, I believe that there was a strong campaign in the day because they left right after Big Brother 20 for The Amazing Race. But I think that The Amazing Race did not want any reality teams coming off of the all reality team season.
Mm-hmm. If he does win America's Favorite Player again, I feel like they're going to want him.
It's possible.
I just don't want to have to.
I feel like even without it, I think he'll definitely end up on it at some point.
Yeah.
As long as I don't have to listen to that task again, that music.
So you don't like really this?
I hope that they.
It was too long, Rob.
CBS. I hope that CBS just poured the money on those poor people because that. Listen, no.
Yeah. Mm-mm. This is going to be the new live feed music when they go to the puppies.
Rob.
Yeah.
Please keep those kinds of thoughts to yourself.
Then we're going to be back with our second Amazing Race podcast of the week. That this is the first season that we're doing this. It's the Tar Pits with Mike and Jessica. We'll be back this weekend featuring an exit interview with the first team off of the Amazing Race. Questions from our listeners, guests, and much more. Every week on The Tar Pit. That's our second Amazing Race podcast. We'll have an exit interview tomorrow, but I'm going to do it as part of the slop tomorrow with Jenny Autumn. I got to send my questions in for Memphis. Anything good that I should ask Memphis?
Memphis, are you aware that there was an alliance in the house called the committee? I doubt they'll let it through, but I would love for you to ask what kind of relationships he had with people coming into the game.
Mm. Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah. I don't
and,
know.
And when,
might not get
when
past he came the up, goalie.
Yeah. when he came up with the idea for the committee, two, stuff like that.
Yeah. Two wise guys. Okay. Yeah. And what was your problem with David, Memphis?
Oh, yeah. I would love to know that. Let's sit down and have a deep dive about that.
Rookie. All right. Then, Taryn, we'll be back with Puya, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific for the live feed update. Boom. Find out who won the night moves.
We're going to see.
Okay.
We still don't know.
Right, feeds are down. You right?
think that should be a really, really quick comp, right?
Should we probably will quick.
See once the feeds come back.
Yeah, when I expect us to know when the feeds come back in about 45, 50 minutes.
Okay.
All right, West Coast.
All right, and then We're going to get sloppy on Friday. We'll hear Memphis's exit press and then also talk with Jenny Autumn about everything sloppy going on in the Big Brother house. Send me any of your live feed highlights, links, questions. Send them to me on Twitter at Rob Cesarino. Grace Leader will join us as well to talk about some of the campaigns for America's favorite player. And then the roundtable is back on Saturday night. Check out what Taryn has going on with Sharifa Yasmin and Brendan the actor.
Yay!
Brendan the actor, yes.
Yes. Check out the updated Legacy Watch.
Yeah. You ever watched yeah. What was it? The OA.
The OA. Yeah.
I kept wanting to say OC. That was a different show, right?
Oh no. No.
Yes. Then on the BNB this week, check out Frail Mary. She'll be there playing some games with Mike and Liana. Always fun when Frail Mary stops by the BNB. Check that out this weekend. And then on Why Blank Lost. Oh, Anessa is going to be a guest with David and Jessica to talk about why Memphis lost. So we'll hear from David and Jessica on the latest Why Blank Lost. Then Monday night, we'll be back with Brent, Mel, and Matt on Monday night. So be on the lookout on Monday night, 9:15 p.m. Eastern Time for our Monday night edition of the Big Brother podcast. Of course, all this podcasting is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Find out more about everything we have going on at our patron-only podcast feed. Going to be recording a patron 5 for 5 with the First Lady of Podcasting shortly after this podcast tonight. That'll be up in our patron podcast feed. We'll have a Facebook Friday tomorrow, patron Facebook group, patron Discord server, and more over at robiswebsite.com/patron. And earlier tonight, I did our pregame show, taking calls from the patrons with Maggie Morgan. Had a lot of fun 1 hour before the episode tonight. Of course, patrons get access to that as well, of course. And then you can follow us on social media at Rob Has a Podcast on Twitter, at RJP Grams on Instagram, and our Rob's Podcast Facebook page. Finally, of course, we are so close to the Big Brother finale and so close to another big vote this fall. The presidential election.
Hopefully another finale.
Yes. And then a lot of important elections. Find out more about how to vote and get registered to vote at vote.gov. Okay. Just count on your social game. You got to make sure you're registered and ready to go. Vote.gov. All right. Fun show tonight. We've done it all thanks to Brendan and Rachel also who are joining us. Check out their Big Brother 12 reunion. Enzo's going to be so pissed that he missed it, Taryn.
Right? Yeah. Why can't Enzo be a part?
Do you think he can get out in time?
I mean, just let him call in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe Enzo's foot stalker will represent Enzo.
It should be a luxury hey, if Enzo wins this luxury competition, he gets to call into the BB12 reunion.
Maybe he should get his video from home will be the BB12 cast sending him a video.
If he wins HOH and they do that little HOH hot seat, I'll definitely ask a question like, so how would you feel if you found out that the cast of BB12 did a reunion while you were in?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Lavina, what's coming up for you?
Nothing really. I'm honestly just excited for, like I said, for us to be in the final stretch. I've got really nothing else going on except for work, but I love being here.
Okay. So nice to have you here, Lavina. Where can people follow you?
They can follow me at Twitter at LPAVS with 2 S's. That's LPAVSS. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Lavina, great having you back tonight. Aman, how about for you?
I'm drawing a blank. Oh, okay. So Matt and I are still going strong with the choir room. All of our recaps are up.
You finished the whole series.
We finished the entire series.
How long did that take?
It took half a year. It
from the beginning of quarantine to now.
Yeah. Now what will you do?
We are doing a bunch of brand steals that I think all five of them are going to get released. We did a bunch of combination of characters of Glee.
You did five Glee brand steals?
Did five Glee brand steals. They'll all be in your feeds tonight.
And then you're dropping them all at once?
Dropping them all at once. It's a bingeable podcast, baby. You better just put us in your ears and never take us out.
Come on, you guys are reinventing the wheel here.
Listen, it's about batches now.
I never thought to put out five brand steel podcasts at one time.
You never thought to like continuously podcast and release episodes on like a week or daily basis, Rob? No, really? Never?
Oh my God.
Yeah, wild. All that's going to be coming out, and we're going to be moving on to character studies after that, and that's about it. I feel similarly to Lavina. I'm really happy to be towards the end. All in all, I know a lot of people are like down in the season, but honestly, I feel like the season isn't as bad as most people think that it is. It's a little frustrating, but I'm just glad that we got to see so many of our favorites come back, and it's just been a lot of fun covering it. This
Aman,
season,
so. You're still alive in the draft. You still have Christmas.
I am still alive in the draft. I hope
to be Christmas
out of a misery soon, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then Taryn, here we are in the home stretch. What's next for you?
What's next is an update tomorrow morning. Well, I'll tell you who won the HOH. And then, of course, the roundtable on Saturday where we'll talk about the Legacy Watch. We'll see if last week was a fluke or if it's real. And then on Sunday at around 5 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. We're going to be playing some Among Us with Puya. Aman, I think, said he was going to be there earlier in this podcast.
I'll be there a little later, but I'll be there.
There we go. So make sure you check that out as well. Go there, hit the follow button. It'll alert you when I go live. And you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn.
All right. Thanks so much again to Brendan and Rachel for joining us here tonight. Really fun Thursday night recap. I'll have the slop for you tomorrow. And then we will go ahead and be live again on Monday night after the next Big Brother episode. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.